I put 34 and a half years in education. Every major discipline problem I had. Now, I'm not talking about this little stuff, you know, mischievous. I'm talking about major. It really, you had to get rid of the student, or you know, had to really do something strong. Right back to mom and daddy. Every one of them. Go right back to mom and daddy. I don't know the one that didn't go back to mom and daddy. I had a man call me one time, told me if I whipped his kid, he'd come up here and whip me. I said, well, you better be on your way. And you know what boy in there? White boy. Which it wouldn't matter. Life without parole. Right now. That's where he is.
Did the student body, after, during integration, feel that they were being treated fairly by the school system?
Well, most of them. I had a boy one time come to me, and well, I had a graphic arts teacher named, well, he's still down there, still teaching down there. I've been, he's about down there 20-some years. He said, Mr. So-and-so is, he's racist. Said he don't like me because I'm black. And I knew better. When he told me, I knew Bill wasn't that way, the guy named Bill. And I talked to him a little bit, and I said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go back up in that classroom. His name, I forget what his name is. You're Bill or Paul. You're not black. You're not white. You're a student. And you act that way. You're not a white student. You're not a black student. You're a student in that class for a week. And then I want you to come back down here and see me. Well, after a week, he come and said, you're right, Mr. Chung. But Bill told me, after that, I talked to the teacher that the boy stayed in something all the time, so he had to stay on him all the time about something. But he thought it was because he was black. See? And far as I know, we didn't have no trouble that boy. But he kind of had enough nerve now. He come to me and told me I was right. After a week, he noticed that Mr. Dawson wouldn't treat him as like he did everybody else because he behaved himself, see? This is not what you want, I know.
How did the parents feel about the treatment that the students were getting?
Well,
did most parents feel it was unfair, fair, or indifferent?
I never had any complaint to me. I tell you what I had one time. You won't believe it, but this happened. I sent a boy home, and he wouldn't take a pat, and I sent him home. The next morning, his dad was waiting on me when I went in the mall, sitting there with him. His eyes were red as a beet, and you could tell he'd been drunk all night, or been drunk. He's dead in it. I could call a name, but I won't. And I called him Mr. So-and-so, you know. I said, y'all come on in. He said, I don't know why my boy got sent home. I said, well, I told him if he'd take 3 weeks or 3 days. And he took 3 days. And, when, you know, you can't paddle him. Just take him in there and paddle him. Now you got to give him a choice. You knew that, didn't you? I don't know what it is now. And he said, well, he'll take his paddle. And he told him, bend over. I said, you got this on. I'll tell you what he said. So he bent over and I hit him just about like I'd hit any student, 3 weeks, you know. And he said, you don't know how to whip a black boy. Let me have that paddle. He liked to kill that boy. I'm begging him, quit hitting his own son. I'm not kidding. That's the truth. Good Lord, strike me here. I said, Mister, please quit hitting. Let me have that paddle. He hit him with the corner of it, the back of it, across his shoulder, and everywhere else. If I ever did any more trouble, that boy, I can do that. But he was that actually helped. No, my secretary and my book and my counselor were witness.
Was that a school policy?
I had to. What you gonna do when he grabs the paddle in his hand and starts hitting?
No,
his son?
What I mean, the paddling was.
That's just a policy that I had. We had a superintendent move in and said I was wrong. Yeah, they fired him about so many years later, but he told me I was wrong. I said, well, we have less distance problems in vocational school than they do in any school in the system. If we're wrong, why are we having any problem? Why are we not having any problem? And I know when I went to school, and I went to Jackson High School, or in Cedar Springs, yeah, if I got out of line, I got my rear end busted. And I know it had an effect on me, because I think, well, I'd do something, because I knew what I was going to get if I did. And my mom and daddy done the same way. So they can talk about, you may not believe in punishment. Some people don't. But it worked with me. My daddy kept me straight. Principal one time was going to send me home. I said, you ain't going to send me nowhere. Whatever you want to do, you do it to me. Can't be as bad as my daddy if you send me home. Now, that was 50 years ago.
What was the atmosphere of Anniston student body after integration?
Well, that's hard to answer that question. It was different.
In what ways?
Well, it was socially different. Not socializing. Like I said, that group over here, that group over here. Well, it wasn't that way. It was a high percentage of that way before we integrated. And on the basketball team, don't ask me. I don't know why, but you'd have the black kids going dressed in one part of the dressing room. And they'd do it on their own. They'd pick them lockers over. And you got your whites over here, your blacks over there, dressed. But we get on ball court, play together. No fussing one another. No. But it's just the way it is. You can go up here to college, watch them practice before they're warming up out there before they practice, and you'll see the same thing. Blacks over here, whites over there. So I don't know what to look at. There's something been going on from now on. It's not as bad as it was. I've had some black ball players work for me here, but I couldn't ask them being a nicer boy.
Do you think blacks being allowed to enter into sports?
It's helped.
In what ways?
Well, it's helped help them financially, for one thing. Helped them. A lot of them got to go to college that never had to went. Got to go if they hadn't been playing ball because they couldn't afford it. You know, you have mothers with kids that living on welfare, and it's like, what's his name, Charles Barkley?
Mm-hmm.
Bo Jackson. I read his book. And there were nine of them, and they all slept in one room. And they'd all, when they got went to bed at night, they go in, and I read this, and this is his saying now, not mine. And Mama just go in there and cover all nine of them up at one time. I believe it was nine, and Charles Barkley, same way. Now they're living. The first thing they do when they sign a pro contract, they build Mama a new house. You ever notice that? Just about every one of them builds Mama a new house. I keep up with them. I don't mean a little house. They build a nice one. So they know what their Mama been putting up with all these years. See?
What affected the integration on team, basketball teams, football teams, tennis teams, soccer teams? What did that do to help the transition? I mean, did it break the community further apart, or did it bring the community together?
I don't think so. As far as the ball club is concerned, when I was coaching black, we'd have as many white people there as we did blacks, maybe more. Because they could afford it more than the black parents could. And that's true right now. That's what's really hurt the tenants of some of the ball games. You know, they charge you $3 or $4 to go to a ball game. And then when they play basketball 2 and 3 nights a week, a lot of the parents can't afford that $12 a week. I mean, it's the truth. And that's what's cut out. You read that article in Post Herald about the tennis and basketball games and Birmingham high school games dropping off?
Yep.
It's because the parents can't afford it. He said that because of people being afraid to go. Well, there ain't nobody afraid to go to a basketball game here in Gallon County. All right. Well, I'm not. This college tennis has dropped off too, and like Alabama and Auburn game, basketball. And I think the main thing is, you take a mama over with three or four kids drawing $300 or $500 a month, she can't pay $12 a week to go see her boy play basketball.
Was there a cost back in the '60s and seventies to go?
Yeah, not as much, but probably in line with what people make now, you know, about the same. But we played when I was coaching basketball at Downson, we made money in basketball. Oh. They don't do it now.
How did you make money?
On the gate. We had real big crowds come. But what I hear now, football sporting all sports at Downson Minor. None of them paying away. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what I hear. But Joplin, y'all probably had some pretty good crowds at Joplin High School basketball game there because they're winning. And poor crowd at football because they're losing. That old boy coaching football, I coached him. If he gets material, he'll win. If he ain't got material, that coach ain't going to win. I'm old Rusty. I call him Rusty. Y'all call him Coach Burrell, but his nickname's Rusty. I talked to him up a ton. First time I seen him in the football play. But he's a good kid. He wasn't a real good ball player, but he was good kid. He played, but not. Wasn't, you know, just around the mail. But Joplin got some good ball players. They got about 7 or 8 that can go. And I think that's one thing that helped them in the tournament. You know, they got in foul trouble, it didn't hurt them. They put somebody else in there in the first. I was real impressed with them. Boy, they hustled.
Thank you.
They were playing Arizona to get a man-to-man defense that first quarter that I've seen in high school in a long time. But they were the most integration problem you'll have is by them students being influenced by somebody in their church or something, or mama or daddy or something, the blacks and the white. And I don't know what you can do about it. Parents don't believe in, they don't want you to make their kids behave, but they want you to keep them in school and teach them something. But if you walk in a classroom and you ain't got the control of that class, you can't teach nothing. You can't teach a thing if you ain't got discipline in that class. I don't care where it is or what it is or what. And that's the first thing I tell my people. If you don't put a halter on them, they'll put one on you.
That's true.
So I've had some problems. The biggest problem I've had with some teachers I had to get rid of when I was an administrator. They couldn't discipline.
Were they afraid to disappoint, or were they just
both
didn't know
they
how
had
to?
One, they didn't know how. They wanted to talk. They were afraid of them. And God, if you're afraid of a student, you better stay at home. So they'll find, they'll test you. First 2 or 3 days, they're going to test you if you ever start teaching.
Well, during integration, was the fear of discipline towards just because it was a student, or that there might be a community outcry of injustice, or?
I never thought about that. Now, you may not believe it, but it never crossed my mind when I was listening to a kid what the results would come out. I did what I thought I was supposed to do and let the consequences follow. Now, that's how I felt about it. And a lot of the principals say, well, I can't do that. That'd be down here all over. And I said, well, let them come. They don't like my pieces, don't shake my tree. But I never had no problem. And I'm not bragging, I just didn't have them. And I think being an ex-coach helped me. And this, I know it helped me on the campus when I was coaching. I mean, I didn't have no problem with no kid, because I was coach. And one that didn't play ball, I had no problem. But I was told by a superintendent one time, an assistant superintendent, I was the best disciplinarian in the house school system. Now, I don't know. Maybe the biggest, here's one thing, and you're going to be teaching one of these days. If you have to correct a student, like paddle him or really get on him, or her or him, whatever it is, and he resents it, you're wasting your time. If that kid resents you, you're wasting your time. You got to show him or her, or whatever you're doing, right, that he deserves or she deserves what you're doing. And if I...